The Alaska Supreme Court has sent a wrongful death lawsuit against the Juneau gun store owner back to the Superior Court for more consideration. In an opinion released on Friday, the High Court upheld the constitutionality of the Federal Protection of Lawful Commerce and Arms Act, which shields gun manufacturers and sellers from criminal liability. But justices also said it's possible expert witness affidavits should have been considered before the civil suit was dismissed by the Superior Court. The lawsuit stems from a 2006 shooting outside the Juneau Fred Meyer store that killed Simone Kim, a painter working on the expansion project for the store. Convicted killer Jason Cody obtained a .22 Ruger rifle from Rayco Sales, which is owned by Ray Cox. Kim's family sued, alleging Cox negligently or illegally provided the rifle to Cody. Cox does not dispute that Cody came into the store, asked to look at the gun, and then walked away with it after setting $200 on the counter while Cox was preoccupied elsewhere. The expert witness affidavits were submitted to the Superior Court by attorney for Kim's estate, but Judge Philip Pallenberg declined to allow them as evidence. One concluded that Cox violated the intent, letter, and spirit of the law based on lack of security at Rayco Sales. An audit found that nearly 200 missing firearms at the store over a decade. Cox's attorney argued the rifle was stolen, therefore his client should not be held liable. Tony Schulte, who argued for Ray Cox and Rayco Sales, says there were pleas that the lower court's summary judgment was upheld, but he's not worried about having to return to the lower court to argue over more potential evidence.
It deals with the admissibility of affidavits, and the question specifically was whether or not these affidavits, which deal with claims that there may have been other bad acts, which there weren't, but that there may have been, would be admissible to determine what actually happened in our case. And I just feel comfortable that under the evidence rule, it's 404B1, that wouldn't be admissible.
Mark Choate, who argued for the Kim estate, was very disappointed that the Alaska Supreme Court determined that PLACA was constitutional, but he was happy that justices determined there were still questions of fact related to PLACA's negligent entrustment exception.
That was one of our arguments, and we had two affidavits of two experts in gun safety and security who said that this situation, as Mr. Cox described it, was just not believable. I mean, that it looked as if he was somebody who, in fact, was intentionally violating the law.
Choate says since summary judgment was issued just before a potential trial, presentation of those affidavits or evidence could lead to reversal of the summary judgment and continuation of the lawsuit. Schulte is confident that will not happen. The first Adair Kennedy Memorial Park arson case is now before a jury. 19-year-old Ashley Johnston testified in her own defense on Friday. That was followed by closing arguments in the case that included felony arson and criminal mischief charges and a misdemeanor criminal trespass charge for the June 19th incident. Johnston is accused of vandalizing the park and starting a fire among the turf laying equipment and supplies. Along with Ryan Martin and Dylan West, they allegedly climbed the fence to gain access to the turf field, broke into the announcer's box above the bleachers, and discharged a fire extinguisher before descending to the field and starting a fire. Johnston decided to take the stand after a short recess on Friday to consult with her attorney and other members of the public defender's office. She said she really did not remember what happened. When investigators told her that they already had evidence that Johnston started the fire, she claimed that she made up details about the fire that she thought that investigators wanted to hear.
For example, you said you remember seeing flames. Do you remember that?
No.
Why did you tell them that? Why did you tell them that you saw that?
Because they said I did it.
And did you believe them?
Yes.
And why is it that you believe them?
Because they're not supposed to lie.
But when a defendant decides to take the stand to testify on their own behalf, it also allows prosecutors an opportunity for cross-examination. Here's an example of Assistant District Attorney Amy Williams going through a long list of apparently false and contradictory statements made by Johnston.
And at first you told them that you didn't remember being at Floyd Dryden at all, isn't that right?
Yes.
And later you admitted that you had been there, isn't that right?
Yes.
And at first you denied that the photograph from the surveillance camera that they showed you was you, didn't you?
Yes.
But it was you, wasn't it?
Yes.
Okay, so that was a lie.
Yes.
Sergeant Paul Hatch of the Juneau Police Department, another investigator who initially interviewed Johnston along with his subordinate, Detective Craig Campbell, was also called to the stand to testify for the defense. During closing arguments, public defender Timothy Ayer emphasized that Johnston herself did not know what happened because of an alcohol and an unspecified pill that she consumed that night. Instead, investigators lied to elicit information during an interview with Johnston about a week after the fire.
She said, "It doesn't sound like me. Not something I do. Fire doesn't like me. But you said you have a video, so I must have done it." And then they spend the next hour forcing her to rack her brain to remember something that didn't happen, because they wanted to get her to admit to something that didn't happen. They didn't have any evidence of it. They had no idea whether it had happened, and they didn't care. They were going to lie to her and see if they could get her to admit to it, to see how she'd react. You know how they wanted her to react. They wanted her to say, "You got me." But she couldn't, because she didn't remember.
Part of Williams' closing arguments included a play on a word used by Ayer as she focused on Johnston's own apparent lying and changing stories about the incident.
It's very convenient that she remembered that then. She doesn't remember it now. Maybe she does. Oh, she just doesn't know. She was blacked out. It's very convenient that she remembered the burning smell and the rubbery smell then. She didn't remember all the facts. She doesn't remember today. She doesn't remember anything now. It's all very convenient because memory is convenient. And I think that Miss Johnston is probably the best example of that.
One of the women from the jury was designated as an alternate and excused from deliberations. The remaining seven men and five women deliberated for about an hour on Friday afternoon before going home for the day. They're scheduled to resume deliberations this morning.